Father, thank you for helping us this morning. Father, we love you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Amen. Did you come to receive today?
Amen.
Amen. Came hungry this morning. We're going to get everything he has for us today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me just get my timer going here. Hallelujah. Why don't we pray as we get into the Word today? Father, we love you and we glorify you. Lord, you're so good and you are our Heavenly Father and we're so thankful to have a good Father. And Lord, as we come before your Word today, Father, we give it reverence this morning. We thank you that it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Father, I know that you have a message for this morning and I ask you to speak through me today, Lord. This isn't my service, this is yours. So whatever you want said, may that and that alone be what's said this morning. Father, we thank you for help today. Thank you for strengthening us today, growing us today, helping us to look more like Jesus than we did when we woke up this morning, that we'll leave this place better than we came. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I saw the slick text that went out yesterday. You probably saw that alert, danger, come up on your phone, and everybody thought, what is going on here? I thought that, oh, danger, what's this? But what we're going to be talking about today, it is a dangerous thing because it's something that, you know, the Bible tells us will take people straight out of the will of God for their life. It'll take you out of what God wants for you in your life. It'll rob and steal and kill and destroy from you in your life. And we're gonna be better guarded against it after this morning. Amen. And I believe we're following the Holy Ghost this morning. This came on my heart while I was up in Canada at the meetings with Pastor Nancy last week to preach here. And I just thank God that we'll get everything out that he wants for us today. Amen. We're going to be talking about offense this morning. Not getting offended, rather, with the ministry, with our pastors, with the Word of God, with God, whatever it might be, with each other. We're just going to look at not getting offended this morning. Now, some of you might already be offended that I said that. I hope by the end of the service you get help today. But just know this, that anything that's said this morning, of course, no, it comes out of love, you know, and know this, too, I'm not here to correct. I'm the fun uncle, right? I mean, that's not my job. My job is not to correct. You're not my sheep. I'm not here to correct anybody this morning. But I want to share truths with you this morning that are in the Word of God that'll help you, that'll bless you. I've seen so many people. I've been born again since 2002. I've been serving faithfully, going to church ever since then. I haven't backslid, haven't missed maybe more than two Sundays in a row. I love the Lord, and I've seen so many people get taken out by offense. So many people get taken out by offense. And I don't want to see anybody here get taken out by offense because I believe that the Lord has a good, good plan for your life. And the devil knows that the Lord has a good plan for your life. And you know what? He hates that. And he'll do anything in his power to uproot that plan for your life. And so we're going to look at one of the avenues that he tries to derail people this morning. Because if we know what his avenue is, then we know how to stand against it. Right? So we're going to look at offense this morning. But I want you to say, before we even get started, we're going to close our Bibles and leave right now. Say, I will not get offended with this message. All right. Now I know that's truth. I wasn't looking at everybody's mouth, but we'll just trust that you are all moving your mouth. Ephesians chapter 4 this morning and verse 11. I don't know if you've ever heard me share this scripture here before. It says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, what does this have to do with offense? Well, first we need to look at this. The number one area that offense is going to try and come into you is against your spiritual leadership, against your pastor. Really, it's against the message that's being preached to us by the one that God gave to us to receive from. And that's why we need to look at these scriptures and start off with this morning, is to recognize and remind ourselves that our pastors are a gift from God to us. Amen. My pastor, Pastor Michael, God placed me under him. He placed him in my life so that I could receive something from him, receive messages from heaven. You know, I saw a couple weeks ago, I think, the slick text that went out. I love your pastor's slick text. I know I don't go to this church, but I just love them because they're so sweet and pastoral. And danger. I mean, you know, that's still pastoral, right? Hey, you got to get back over here, sheep. Come on. And But that one he sent out that said, he has a message from heaven to deliver. Will you be ready to receive it? Something to that extent, right? That's truth. Our pastors are sent. They're messengers of heaven to us. They're the voice piece of heaven to us on Sunday mornings, midweek services. Ours is Tuesday. Yours is Wednesday. God speaks at both of them, right? Praise the Lord. But we know this, that when we recognize who they are and the authority that they walk in our lives, makes it a lot easier not to get offended with them. But when we start to maybe forget that, that's when offense can start to creep in. See, what we're going to look at this morning is how offense can get a foothold in by looking at really what the root of offense is. And what the root of offense is, it comes from dishonor, right? We could say this, offense is just a byproduct of dishonor. So this morning, we're going to look at how to honor our pastors, how to honor our supply. And in that, we're going to see how offense can creep in if we start to let those things start to wane a little bit. Some of the things that we're going to be talking about, just like I shared in the offering, the indicator gauge on the dashboard of our van, right? Your honor level for your spiritual supply is your indicator gauge of where your offense is going to be at. The lower the honor level, the higher the offense is going to be. Is the opportunity for offense is going to be. But we know this, that we're not going to let dishonor slip in, and we're not going to let offense slip in, because it'll take from us the things that God wants for us. Matthew 9:36, if you can put this up in the Amplified version, Matthew 9:36. You don't have to turn there, we'll just put it up on the screens here in a second. See, the devil knows how important it is for you to be under a pastor. He knows how important it is for you to have that supply. And here it says, when Jesus saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them because they were bewildered, listen to this, harassed and distressed and dejected and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now we know this, the pastor is equated to a shepherd in the Bible, that they're a shepherd and we're the sheep. I'm grateful that I have a shepherd that looks over my life. I'm grateful that I have a shepherd that's going to answer to Jesus for me. It helps me to know that I've got someone watching my spiritual back. Amen, that I don't have to do it alone. Folks that think that once they get born again, they just get to do it, have to do it all on their own, that they don't need to have a pastor, I'll tell you, they're deceived. They are straight up deceived. Why? The Bible, Jesus said this. So if they think they know better than Jesus, I guess I've got nothing that I can combat them with, right? But listen, these people, they didn't have a pastor. And what was their life like? Harassed, distressed, dejected, and helpless. Those are four characteristics of someone that's playing patty cake with the devil, right? When you start batting for his team, those things start to get put on your resume. I'm harassed, I'm distressed, I'm helpless, I can't do it. And what was the thing that they were missing? A pastor. And see, the devil knows that if he can knock out that relationship with your pastor, he can get you over into his territory. Right? And once you're in his territory, you're open season. And you don't want to be open season for the enemy. So we're going to guard ourselves against that by guarding that relationship with the one that we call pastor. Amen. Now, one thing that I want to make sure we get out of the way quickly this morning is knowing this, that this is not the same thing as hero worship, right? This is not the same thing as we are not magnifying the man Mike Anderson this morning. Okay, now yes, I'm talking about Pastor Mike in this place, but I'm not just talking, I'm talking about the office that God has placed us under to receive from. For me, that's Pastor Michael Loketic. If this isn't your church and you're just visiting this morning, that's whoever you call your pastor. If you don't have a pastor, I encourage you to get one, or else, this is what Jesus said your life gonna look like. Yeah. You don't want your life to look like this. And it's easy to not. You know, folks out there that they don't have a church, they don't have a pastor. Why is my life like this? Why am I going from storm to storm, crisis to crisis? It's easy. There's one scripture in the Bible that makes it abundantly clear what the reason is. We know this. We need a pastor. Jesus said it. God established this office. And now that we've got that part out of the way, we can get on to this next part of what honor looks like for that office. Because like I said, when honor starts to wane, that's when offense can creep in. Go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. See, sometimes folks get, maybe tripped up or deceived, and they think that they can step away from from their spiritual supplier, get offended to it, or cut their relationship there for a little bit. And they still manage to do okay for a little bit. You know, I have here an iPhone, right? It's got my timer going this morning. But last night, I had this iPhone, it was plugged into a charger, right? But when I unplugged it, I'm still using it. It's still working for me right now. It doesn't have to be plugged in for it to work, but eventually, it's going to die. It's going to die. And so many folks, they unplug from their spiritual supply, and they think, look, I'm standing on my own 2 feet. I don't need a pastor. I don't need somebody watching over it. All that stuff was just to keep me in bondage and take my money. I'm doing just fine on my own. A little while later, battery's getting low. And the low battery alerts start flashing up. What happens? Crises start coming up in their life. Listen, I'm not trying to scare folks this morning. I have seen this time and time again with my own eyes. If you've been a part of the church for any length of time, you've seen it with your own eyes. If you've ever read your Bible, it happened over and over and over again. You don't believe me? Ask the Israelites. They thought they knew better. Well, how did that work out for them? I don't want to spend 40 years in the wilderness. I want to get into where God has me to get into, and I do that by honoring the one that God's got to lead me into that land. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So Mark 6, verse 1, says, and he, Jesus, so we're talking about Jesus. Surely no one could have gotten offended with Jesus. He's the Son of God. He was perfect. How can anybody get offended with perfect Jesus? Well, let's see. He went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? From what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. There's so much in these scriptures, and we can't get through all of it this morning. I wish that we could, but there's so much in here. You know, this will upend your theology that God can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. Because obviously, Jesus, who was God in the flesh, could not do the things that he wanted to do. Jesus Christ could not. That means that we can limit what God can do in our life. We can limit what God can do in the area that we're in the atmosphere that we're in the church that we're in. Again, you don't believe me, look at the Israelites. 10 people limited what millions could do for 40 years because they were offended with the vision that their leader had. They were offended with where he wanted to go and what he wanted to do. See, we have to keep our guard up against that. We have to. That word offended in the Greek says to cause a person to distrust or desert one whom he ought to trust and obey. I'll say that again, to cause a person to distrust or desert one who he ought to trust and obey. See, when you're in a church where God has planted you, and you're in a church that teaches the word of God like this one, you know that you can trust and obey that leadership. You know that Pastor Mike has your best interest at heart. You don't have to wonder, is the advice that he's given me something that I can receive for my life? You know, when I go to Pastor Michael for help on something, I don't have to then filter it and think, okay, I'll take this, but not this. No, I can take the whole kit and caboodle, right? I'm not going to the restaurant and, you know, making exceptions on the meal I'm ordering. I want the whole thing. I want all of it. I'm not allergic to any of it. I can take every piece of it, and I can enjoy the whole thing. See, your pastor, the things that he brings to you, that's the same way. We don't have to filter it. And there's so many places out there that aren't like that. You know, I knew a man who, he served another man for years, and in doing that, he was called to serve that man, but they didn't agree on the things of the faith. They thought very differently about the Bible and doctrine, but God called them to serve him. And while he was there, you know, my heart broke for this one that was serving the other one, because he said, I was called to serve him, and I did, you know, I did it faithfully, I did what I had to do, but I couldn't give him my heart. And that broke my heart, because I didn't even realize that my pastor had my heart. Until I heard someone say that they couldn't give their pastor their heart. See, when you come to a church and you say, that's my pastor, you say, I'm going to receive from that person, you've now you've opened yourself up to that. And I'm so grateful that we're in a place that we don't have to be afraid that that's going to get bruised, that it's going to get hurt, that it's going to get trampled on, because our pastors live by the Word of God, and they know the Word, and they know the Spirit of God, and they have our best interests at heart. And see, any time that a thought comes against us to the opposite of that, oh, Pastor Mike doesn't care about me. He doesn't have my best interest. Some of you look at me like I'm crazy. Those thoughts will come to you. Maybe they have come to you. I'm not looking for a show of hands this morning. But I can tell you this. A man that spends how many hours of his week just preparing messages, meals, you could say, so that you can receive from heaven, he loves you. Yeah. He's given a good pastor, a good shepherd, lay down his life for the sheep. Amen. And that's what our pastors do. They've given their life for this sake, for the gospel's sake, for the sake of preaching to us, to help us, to equip us for what God wants us to do in life. We're planted in a right place. Amen. We're planted in a right place. And so when we dishonor that, that's where offense starts to creep in. So what does honor look like? We're going to look at five areas of honor this morning. The time clock, you know, I know last night was fall back. And I used this joke last night. I'm going to use it again right now. That means that I have... No, wait. That means it's already 11:41. Nope, never mind. That's not going to work this morning. Last night it worked great. I was like, I have another hour to preach. But this morning, that's not going to work in my favor. Scratch that. Forget I said anything. All right? All right. The first characteristic of honor that we see here is honor follows its leader. Honor follows its leader. Mark 6:1, we're reading here. Says he went out from thence, came into his own country. Listen to this. His disciples follow him. See, his disciples weren't among those in this group that dishonored him. As far as we know, his disciples honored him. They received from him. Sure, they dealt with stuff over time and they got corrected for it. But at the same time, we know that they were people that honored him. Why? Because honor is rewarded, and we see the rewards that the disciples walked into. So we know that even though they may have dealt with stuff, at least they honored him. So we can see a characteristic of honor is they followed him. Now, I'm not telling you to go to Pastor Mike's house next week, all right? And if you do, you didn't hear it from me. And I don't want to hear anybody say that you did. But that means for us that we're always where he is when the opportunity shows up. Now, I'm not saying folks that live in South Dayton have to go to both churches all the time. This is your church here in South Dayton. But you be here whenever the doors are open. That's honor. Amen? Folks that start to slip into dishonor and offense, I guarantee you they're not 2, 3, 4 day a week church people, right? They're people that barely make it every Sunday, okay? And if that's you this morning and this is your first Sunday in 3 weeks, well, this is our little checkup gauge. Listen, you're starting to get a little bit of the red here. Just bring it back a little bit. I love you, and I'm trying to help you this morning, all right? Bring it back a little bit. Our faithfulness to church indicates our honor level for our pastor, indicates our honor level for the one that God has pointed into our life to bring us messages from heaven. When we honor that gift, offense can't creep in. People that are offended, they start to suddenly, first they start to sit up front, and they slowly make their way towards the back. Not judging anybody in the back this morning. Not even looking at you. All right? Because I know some of you serve out there, and you got to get out quick to fellowship and usher and all those things. But that's the first thing. Probably shouldn't have. I love you all in the back there. Hi, guys. Yes, I love you. You put tacos in my car. How could I not love you? Well, stuck my big foot in my mouth on that one, didn't I? So, the next part, though, is the church attendance, all right? Maybe they're a Sunday and a Wednesday person. Then they start to be a Sunday and a sometimes Wednesday person. Then they start to be just a Sunday person. Then they start to be a sometimes Sunday person. Suddenly, where'd they go? They haven't been here in 6 months. What happened to them? Listen, if we're not honoring our visitation, offense is going to creep in. And every time offense happens, it's never, oh, you know, I just got tired of coming to church. No, it starts off maybe they think that way, but then suddenly, well, you said this, Pastor Mike. You said this, Pastor Michael. How could you say that to me? Listen, if we were honoring that, if we were there for every visitation, that wouldn't have happened. So let that be an indicator gauge to us, right? Just like that coolant gauge on my dashboard started getting a little into the red. If our church attendance is waning, okay, let's make sure that we're where we're supposed to be. All right, that's honor one. Honor follows its leader. Honor two, honor recognizes the office, not just the man. The office, not just the man. Here reading in Mark 6, when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? First they said, see that? From whence has this man these things? They were looking only at Jesus the man, the son of Mary, the son of Joseph. They weren't looking at Jesus, the son of God, the Messiah, the prophet, the sent one, right? From whence has this man these things, and from what wisdom is this which is given to him? And even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. And here it is. This is the indicator for this one. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? And it goes on to name off his family members. See, when they said that, is this not the carpenter? They instantly closed off that door to receive from the office that he walked in. Because they began to only look at him as a carpenter. Listen, carpenters are great. I'm sure thankful for them. Because I can't even hang a shelf straight. I need carpenters in my life. I've got friends that are carpenters, and I'm sure grateful for it. I take them out to lunch. I fix their computers. They fix my shelves. We do. It's a good relationship we've got going. I'm thankful for carpenters. But carpenters aren't going to change my life. Carpenters can't guarantee me a place in heaven for all eternity. So when they're looking at Jesus as just the carpenter that they grew up with for 30 years, that's all they saw was this guy that was a carpenter. They didn't know who he was, but they had an opportunity to discover it, and they chose to look only at his manly side. Because of that, they missed out. See, when this comes to the office of our pastor, we have to be so careful not to look at them as just a man or just a woman. We have to be so careful to not just say, oh, you know, that's Mike Anderson, he's my pastor. No, that's Pastor Mike. And he was placed by God in my life to help me come up higher in my God in my walk with the Lord. Amen. When we allow honor to have its right place, we'll receive the things that he has for us. See, they missed out on receiving everything that they should have from him. He should have been able to do mighty works there. He should have been able to do miracles there. He should have been able to preach the word with authority and doctrine and upend spiritual devils in that place and change the world just like he did everywhere else he went. But they chose to dishonor that. They got offended with him, and they lost out on the blessing because of it. See, we're not going to let that be said of us. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to recognize the office. You know, I remember early on in my walk, and this may, hope this doesn't rub you the wrong way this morning, but if it does, I'm going to say it anyway. My pastor, one of the first things he said to me when I started, you know, mentoring with him to build that relationship, I'm not your friend. And I was like, oh. I did. I got a little ruffled about that one. How do they say it? You pet the cat backwards? Is that the saying there? Pet the fur backwards? See, what happened? I got myself a little ruffled up. Why? Because I didn't want a pastor. I wanted a friend that was a pastor. No, no, no. See, Michael Loketic, a great man, wonderful man, but he doesn't have the spiritual thing on his life that I need. Pastor Michael Loketic, that's what I need. That's what God put in my life. And so my pastor, he's not supposed to be my friend. And these people, you know, there's churches out there that they drop the name pastor and just, you know, oh, Joe shows up. Hey, Joe, how you doing? What are you getting in your life? You're getting Joe. And what does Joe have to offer? A motivational speech for half an hour? No, I want someone anointed to preach the word of God that'll break bondage in my life, that'll change my life, that'll bring power into my life. And Pastor Joe, he's equipped to do that. See, I know these are maybe minute things, and it is a matter. There's folks in our church that still won't call Pastor Michael, Pastor Michael. They call him Michael. Now, I don't know if there's folks here that do that to Pastor Mike. I might not say this in Fredonia, but I'll say it here. Don't do that! My goodness! You are short-circuiting your connection to the power of God when you do that. The folks in our church that do that, that only say Michael and not Pastor Michael, 25, 30 years, their lives look exactly the same as they did. No change. If they're a born-again believer, you got me fooled. I'm not trying to judge anybody this morning. I'm just saying we take note of these things to learn from them. Right? So that what's not working? Why does that life look the same as it did when the power of God ought to have been impacting it for all this time? Because there's no honor in place. Amen. We're going to have honor in place because honor in place guards us against offense. Amen. Next characteristic of honor. Honor wants the message that the office delivers. Go ahead and turn back a couple of pages there to Mark chapter 4. Honor follows its leader, recognizes the office, not just the man, and it wants the message that comes through the man. Mark 4:14. The sower sows the word, and these are they which by the wayside. We know this, the parable of the soil Jesus told. These are they which were the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And listen to this in verse 16. These are likewise which are sown on stony ground. When they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. See, there's a whole lot of folks who they can come to church and they can get excited about the one preaching the word. Maybe they can even recognize that that's the spiritual supply. But this is where I'm saying, and it's a fine line, and most people, you know, there's a road and there's always two ditches on the side of a road, right? And you could get off in one ditch, you could get off in the other ditch. Listen, not in this place because we're taught right, but most places lean towards the ditch of dishonor. But there is another ditch of hero worship, of people that deify their pastors, people that, you know, they don't make any decision in their life without their pastor making sure that it's acceptable for them. That's not right either. My pastor's not my God, right? The Holy Ghost is my God. My pastor will lead me and guide me, and it should line up with what the Lord is telling me. But there's places out there where the pastors will not even tell them to seek the Lord on something. They'll just tell them, no, come to me before you make any decision in life, anything in life. That's excess. And that's what these folks happen here, I believe. That this stony ground, what happened? They received the word. They took that word, but they took the message and they honored so much the voice that it was coming from that they didn't receive the actual message itself. And look what happened. Look what happened after this. And have no root in themselves, is verse 17. And so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Immediately they're offended. See, we have to recognize that, yes, Pastor Mike is the one anointed to bring this message into my life, but I'm here for God. Amen. I'm here. Pastor Mike is the mouthpiece of God into my life, but he's not my God. And you understand, you know, I hesitate to share this because, like I said, most people are on the side of dishonor and need to be kind of brought over into the middle. But there is that side of it where I've seen folks lose out because they almost go overboard and they so much worship the words that come out of the mouth that they start to forget the message is the most important part. That's what they're equipping us with. That's the message that God is putting in their mouth to bring forward to us. And so these folks here, that's what happened to them. They got so caught up on the words that they forgot the message. They heard, but they didn't listen in their hearts. You understand? So that's another part of honor, though, because what'll happen is you'll say, well, you know, I did everything that he said to do, and it still didn't work. No, you didn't make it yours, right? And that's the difference there. That's when people get offended because they say faith doesn't work. That tongue stuff doesn't work. All this other stuff, tithing doesn't work. Are you doing it because you were told to, or are you doing it because it's real to you? There's a difference there. When it becomes real to us, that's when it works for us. That's when the word works, and we won't get offended over it because persecution arises. Amen? So we have honor for the message, not just for the one preaching it. We could say it like this. How's this for an illustration? Are you ready? This came to me while I was laying in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, couldn't sleep, seeking the Lord on this message. All right. I hope this works. Your pastor, this is great, is like the salad dressing on your salad. What am I talking about? Some of you are like, I don't even like salad. Just work with it for this morning. Listen, nobody really likes to sit down and eat a bowl of a ball of iceberg lettuce, right? So what do? You put salad dressing on it. Makes it more palatable. Helps you enjoy it a little bit more. When we're young, nobody really likes to sit down and read the word until you start to understand what it means for you. When it becomes real to you, when you understand that this is a love letter from your father, oh, you get so excited just to dig into this thing. But early on, our pastors, that's why they help equip us and grow us in the ministry and in the things of God, because they help take something that maybe isn't palatable to us and make it taste better. They help make us enjoy it more. But if we get totally focused on the dressing and forget about the salad, we're not getting the health benefits of that lettuce. And you can't tell me that you're going to get healthy eating a bottle of ranch dressing all day long, right? No, we need the nutritional benefits that this has for us. See, that's what I'm talking about here, that these folks, you know, they put such a weight on the person that they forget about the message that the person's bringing. We have to know how to balance that. Amen? We honor them, but we also recognize that they're a mouthpiece for God to speak to us. Praise the Lord. So that's another thing of honor. A couple more here. I think I said five, but I actually have six. Sorry. This next one, I still love you. I almost want to preach it like this when I talk about it. Honor knows its place. Honor knows its place. Now, some of you, listen, you can wave your America flag all day long. Let's just put it down for a second here. All right, we're still in America. This is still the land of the free, home of the brave. But in God's kingdom, it's not a democracy. There's God's kingdom. God, when we get up to heaven, listen, Jesus is going to rule, and he's not going to ask us to place our vote. All right? It's not going to be much different down here. We think we try to dilute this American Christianity by having ourselves a little opinion about things. We don't get to have one. Nowhere in the Bible does God ask people for their opinion. Oh, I can see everybody loving this. Your pastor will do or say something that you disagree with. He will say something that rubs you the wrong way. Absolutely will. Absolutely will. It's going to happen. When that happens, you determine how you respond to that. Do I respond with honor? Do I respond with offense? Those are the choices that we have in that moment. Now, I'm not saying your pastor's going to say something wrong that's going to tip you that way. It's going to be perceived as wrong. It's going to maybe upend some theology that's been put in you all your life. It's going to change the way that you think about some things. It's going to make you a little, maybe like I'm doing right now. It's going to make you a little uncomfortable with the things that are being said right there. But it could be something little too. You know, maybe you text your pastor and he doesn't respond right away. You think I'm nuts. People get offended over this stuff. People get tripped up over this stuff. Oh, why didn't he text me back? He's a human being. And I don't know about you, I want my pastor glued to the Lord, not his cell phone. Right? I want to know that he's seeking God, not just there. All right, that's just one thing. In Fredonia, Pastor Michael Okedek has publicly announced that he does not drink coffee. Do you know we've had people get offended in the church about that? People, he doesn't drink coffee. Well, I drink coffee. Does Jesus not love me because I don't drink? Nobody ever said that. He just said God told him not to drink coffee. But people have gotten offended about that stuff. Listen, here's another definition of offended in the Greek. To see in another what I disapprove of and what hinders me from acknowledging his authority. Who said we get to approve or disapprove of anything? Again, I know everybody's really loving this one, but we're going to move on to the next ones after this, which I don't know that you're going to love that much more. But when we get to heaven, there's not going to be an election every 4 years for who's going to run things. It's God putting people in place that he knows are the right people to run things. Amen? Now, we have to do those things down here. Thank God for democracy down here. Because this is an evil, twisted, fallen world, and we need to have that power to make sure that there's checks and balances in our government. Thank God for it. But in the things of God, we can't let those things start to trip into it. We can't start to put on our little America hats and wear our American flags around our... I love America, you understand? Even though I have British flags on my car, I love America. It's just because it's a British racing car and it feels cool, okay? Do you know I have people get offended with me over that? Because they think that I don't love America? Listen, it's because I love America that I can put British flags on my car. All right, that was a total soapbox for you right there. You see, that was like buried up in there a little bit, and it just, you rub the cat sideways, I guess. Take that. If we're critical of the message that's being preached, we're going to get offended by it. We're going to get offended by it. People that come into a message seeking to dissect it, seeking to break it apart and understand it, and well, what did he mean by that? What did he mean by that? What did he mean by that? You're going to get offended. Stop it. Just come and receive. Just come and receive the message that's being preached to you. If there's something that you disagree with, swallow it up and move on. If you've ever been eating a meal and you take a bite, oh, that tasted weird. You don't stop the whole meal because of it. Maybe you do. I obviously don't. But whatever that might be in your life, listen, if you got 90% blessed by the message and 10% of it rubbed you the wrong way, isn't the 90 better than losing it all over the 10%? But so many people do that. They take that 10% and they say, you know what? No, he said this. I don't agree with that. I'm out. And they lose the 90% of what God has for them. Guard against that. We can't let that steal from us. Amen? Now, I have a scripture for this, but we don't have time to go there. Numbers 12. You can write that down, Numbers 12. It's the whole chapter. It's a private conversation between Miriam and Aaron where they form some opinions on what Moses was doing. Listen, God did not like it. When they started forming opinions on what Moses was doing, they got judged for it. Now, thank God we're under grace, but they were having a private conversation around their dinner table. Offense isn't always getting up and telling the pastor off. Offense could be sitting at home at the kitchen with your spouse. Did you hear the way he said that? Did you see how so-and-so looked at me in church today? Can you believe that Pastor Mike said that in his message this morning? Don't even tangle with that stuff. Don't even open the door to it. Don't even sniff it. You start sniffing it, you get an appetite for it, right? I almost smell tacos this morning. You get hungry for tacos. You start smelling them. Listen, you start sniffing the wrong stuff, you're going to get hungry for it. Just stay away from it. Don't even dabble in that stuff. Amen? Accept the message, and if there's something that you disagree with, put it on the shelf. The Lord will tell you if you're supposed to go somewhere else. And I can tell you, if He's planted you here, you're not supposed to go anywhere else. So then you just take it as, okay, this is just something that I need to work through, and we'll just get to the other side of it. I haven't always agreed with everything my pastor said the moment he said it, but I stayed. Why did I stay? Because I know that he knows more than I do. That's why I'm here, so that I can learn the things of God. The things that he says that I might not understand or agree with, that doesn't give me a reason or an excuse to leave. The devil would like me to think that so that I can separate myself from what God's called me to. Amen? So we don't allow dishonor to get us to form an opinion on something. It knows its place. Two more things about honor here. I'm running flat out of time this morning. Let's see. Honor prays for its leader. You can write down this reference to Acts chapter 12. Honor prays for its leader. Now, I know that last midweek I was here, we taught on prayer and praying for our leaders. And in Acts 12, we see where the church, James was taken by Herod and James was killed. And the church realized, hey, we missed it here. And then Peter got taken by Herod for the same thing to happen, but the church recognized it and they stepped it up and started praying for him. Now, first of all, you don't do that for someone you're offended with, number one. Number two, we know they weren't offended because when Peter got free, they all rejoiced to see him. You don't rejoice to see someone you're offended with. So that's a characteristic of honor. It prays for its leadership. If you notice that you used to pray for your pastors and maybe that started to wane, where's your honor gauge? We just boost it up a little bit. Amen? Now the last piece, and we are going to look at scripture for this because I want you to see it in the Word, Mark chapter 14. Honor blesses its leader. Honor blesses. Just say it that way. Honor blesses. Mark 14 and verse 3. It says, being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold and given for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble you her? She has wrought a good thing on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good, but you have not me always. She has done what she could, for she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, that also that she has done shall be spoken of for memorial of her. Now listen to this. And Judas Iscariot, we know who he was. One of the 12 went to the chief priests to betray him unto them. The first thing that Judas did after he thought someone wasted money was to go and get money by betraying Jesus. What happened? He got offended about it. He got offended about it. We see this woman here, this woman, she blessed her supply. She blessed her spiritual supply. And she didn't just bless him a little bit. He thought, oh, that's nice. She broke some perfume on him. Listen, the New Living Translation says that this perfume, and you can look this up in the Greek too, this perfume was a year's wages. A year's wages for this perfume. I looked this up this morning. The median household income in Cattaraugus County is $45,571. So you go out, this is your word this morning, you go out, you buy a $45,000 bottle of cologne, and you break it on Pastor Mike's head next week. Just kidding. I know we're talking about money, so I had to get a little rise out of you. But that was the custom back then. She was anointing him for burial. The Lord led her to do this thing. But she spent, and what happened? Did Jesus say, stop, that's a waste of money? No, he said that was the right thing to do. The people that had indignation in their hearts, which is another word for offense, Judas, who was offended over money and went and betrayed Jesus, he was offended because of it. People that say, you know, when Pastor Michael, I know he shared this in Fredonia before, I don't know if he shared it here. In 2006, he had his 20th anniversary in ministry, and the church got together and bought him a motorcycle. The church, you know, the people of the church itself had nothing to do with it. The people, just like you people here, if you wanted to get together, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying that's how it happened, right? And we had people, 40%, that's almost half of our congregation left the church because they said that money should have gone towards the poor. Do they know who they were quoting? They're quoting Judas. Yeah. They're quoting Judas. He was not a good guy in the Bible. He was not the one that we're supposed to be emulating, right? But people get so tripped up when we bless this, the one that God has put in our life. My goodness, we ought to take note of that. Amen. That it didn't work out well for Judas. Didn't work out well for those that were offended at Jesus in that moment either. So honor isn't afraid to bless its spiritual supply. Amen. Now I know some of you that, you know, that might trip you the wrong way or something like that, but it's the word. Amen. It's the word. And I want to help you this morning. I want you to see this in the word. All throughout the word, when people get financially behind the one that God has called them to receive from, their lives are changed forever because of it. All throughout the word. There's scripture after scripture that talks about it. I've seen example after example of it in my own life and the lives of those that I love and admire. I'll tell you, it's truth. And if you think your pastor doesn't financially support the one that he submits to, you'd be blinded. Of course he does. Why? Because he knows what the word says. And my pastor supports the one that he financially, listen, all the way up. And his pastor and her pastor and all the way up. Everyone financially helps other people. Why? Because honor ought to be prevalent in the body of Christ. The characteristic of a believer is he's a giver and he's a prayer. Acts 10 tells us that. Amen. So we're going to be givers. We're going to be prayers. Praise the Lord. Now we are out of time, but there's a couple things I want to make sure that we get out this morning before we go. First, I want to say this. Back in Mark 6, flip back just a few pages there. And bear with me 5 more minutes here. Amen. We're getting help this morning. Don't get offended. Mark 6, verse 5. He could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Because some people were offended, and we see the same thing in the Israelites' life, because some people were offended, it robbed the blessing of God from helping other people. Listen, your offense, it's selfish. We know that. Offense is only thinking of yourself. You don't know what you're taking from someone else when you get offended with the message that God has for us. Amen. These people that got offended with Jesus, people that came to get healed, people that probably heard that he was coming into that. Think of the hordes that followed him wherever he went. Of course they followed him into Nazareth. They followed him into there. But because these people that had been believing God, that had been longing for this healing, longing for their visitation, they couldn't get what they wanted because somebody got offended. I've heard pastors say that in their own churches, they can't teach on home and family because people get offended about it. You talk about spanking your kids. You talk about honoring your husband. You talk about honoring your wife. People get offended about it. They leave the church. They don't come if they know you're doing a series on it. So what happens? They don't teach on it because they don't want to hurt people. They love their sheep. They want to help the people in their church. But what else happens? Some broken marriages continue to fail because they're not getting the help they need. Listen, when we're touchy, people don't get help. Let it go. Just let God say whatever he wants to say to us. Amen. We want his help in our life. We want his message in our life. These people were robbed of their blessing because somebody got their feathers ruffled the wrong way. Get over yourself. I say that to myself too. I say it all the time. Scott, just get over yourself. Not all the time. Sometimes. You know. It's a long way. Yeah. Listen, I know some of you will get that in like 5 minutes. Listen, we have to guard against this stuff. It's crucial to our walk with the Lord, but it's also crucial to the things that other people need, especially with what this ministry is called to. The miraculous things that are supposed to happen here, that God has said are going to happen here. Amen? Those won't happen if people get offended over it. Those won't happen if people start to say, well, you know, more people are, this isn't the little thing that I used to have before. This isn't just, you know, my little group and my Pastor Mike anymore. He's getting, you know, bigger. People are noticing him. You start to get offended. Dishonor creeps in. That'll stop what God wants to do. You think that God can do it without any of us? No, he needs the whole body behind a movement. When there's a group of people united in a vision, that's when the things of God happen. Why do you think Pastor Mike continually tells you over and over and over again about these things? Because he wants you behind him on it. He wants your vision. I'm not saying that anybody's not behind him on it. Just we have to be guarded against it. Because the devil knows that if he can break that up, he can break up the flow. You know, a ship has more than one person at the helm. There's a whole body of people there. One person can't file a whole ship by himself. Your pastor may be is at the helm, maybe steering it, whatever you want to say. But there's a whole group of people there that have a part to play to make that happen. And if one part of those gets offended, if there's a sail ship that's got to cross the ocean, but the sail crew is offended, ship's not going anywhere. Doesn't matter how much the person at the helm knows what they need to do. We have a part to play, and the devil knows if he can take us out by a fence, he can uproot what God wants to do in this time. So keep guarded against it. Now this last part, we'll close with this one, Ephesians chapter 6. We know how offense comes. It comes by dishonor. But how do we guard against it? Well, we'll see in Ephesians 6, just like anything that we guard against from the enemy, they come in the way of thoughts, and we have to guard our mind against these thoughts. Verse 16, Ephesians 6:16, says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. See, those fiery darts of the wicked one, those are just thoughts that come against us. That's how the devil operates. He doesn't have power in your life. He doesn't have any ability to shake things up on you. The only way he operates is up here. Plants a seed, plants a thought. We meditate on that thought, and then the fruit of it shows up in our life. Amen? But when we meditate on this, when we plant these seeds in our mind and in our heart, that's the harvest that we reap. So when those thoughts and those signs maybe of dishonor start to come, find the scriptures that we looked at today. Find scriptures in the Bible, because there's hundreds of them that talk about honor. 1 Samuel 2:30, they that honor me, I shall honor. Find scriptures that talk about the blessing of praying for your pastors, the blessing of partnering with your pastors, the blessing of serving in the local church, the blessings of attending and hearing the word of God. All throughout there, what you're doing is you're strengthening your faith shield so that when those thoughts come, they don't have anywhere to get in. See, I still get thoughts every single day against Pastor Michael. Every single day. I'm just being honest with you. Every single day thoughts come. But what happens? They hit my shield. They don't get up here. They hit my shield. I see them, and I recognize them, and I say, no, you don't. No, you don't. I know what that connection means to me. I'm not going to let anything stand in the way of it. I'm not going to let anything come against it. Amen? Were you helped this morning?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Do you still like me?
Yes.
All right, that's good. Not that I really care, but, you know. Did that offend you? I'm just kidding. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you, and we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for the local church, the place that we've come to hear and receive and from you, Lord. We know that you have a good plan for each and every life in this place this morning. Father, that plan starts in the local church, that this is a place that you've ordained for us to receive messages from heaven and help for our lives. And Lord, as we're here today, we thank you for strengthening us this morning, maybe challenging us, Lord, but that it would bring us up higher, that you set the bar higher for us, Lord. Lord, we purpose in our hearts not to let offense in towards our spiritual leadership, not to let those thoughts of dishonor creep in, that we would separate from those that you've called us to be partnered with, that you've called us to receive from. Lord, we know that's where our blessing is. And Lord, we're behind the vision of this ministry. Father, we're behind what you're doing here. And Lord, we're not going to allow dishonor or offense to steal from us what you have for us, Father. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed in this place today, a lot of things we talked about you know, maybe for someone that isn't churched, we could say, or didn't grow up in church, doesn't know these things, may seem quite a bit different than what we think church is really about. But listen, Jesus Christ ordained the local church. He ordained the gift of the pastor for us to receive help and messages from heaven. But first and foremost, we can't even begin to receive those messages if we don't receive Jesus Christ first. We have to receive him before we can receive his gifts. You understand? You have to recognize that he's the one that these gifts come from. Jesus was the Son of God, is the Son of God. And 2,000 years ago, he came to the earth and he died on the cross. And he went to hell for us in our place. We were supposed to go to hell, but he went there for us. And then he rose from the dead so that we could be saved. And what does saved mean? It simply means that when we die, when we leave this earth, we either go to heaven or we go to hell. And if you're saved, born again, the Bible says, that means that we go to heaven. John 3:3 tells us that except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, how do we get born again? Romans 10 tells us that when we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, we shall be saved. So if you're here this morning and you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I don't know everyone in this place, so if there's visitors, I don't want to not give this opportunity. But you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You need to be born again today. I'm going to invite you to raise your hand now. I'm just the one looking around this morning, looking at nobody. We're not going to embarrass you, call you up, anything like that. And it's not the raising of the hand, it's the praying of the prayer that we'll all pray together after. We won't embarrass you. I don't see any hands for that. I want to give a second invitation this morning. If you're here, and the Bible talks about the parable, the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son was a man who had a great life. He had everything that he needed and wanted. His father provided for him, just like our Heavenly Father provides for us. But he thought he could do better on his own, and so he walked away from what the Lord had for him. He walked away from what his father had for him. And he tried to do it on his own, but he realized very quickly, just like that iPhone that I talked about, that he couldn't do it on his own, and he needed to go back home. And he was afraid to, because he thought when he did that his father would be there to cast him aside, to yell at him, to shout at him, he'd be angry with him. But instead, his father welcomed him home with open arms and threw him a party. He was so thrilled to see him. And that's your Heavenly Father. If you've walked away from the Lord, he's here today with open arms, ready to welcome you back into the family. So if you need to rededicate your life to him today, come back home to him. I invite you to raise your hand now. Praise the Lord. I don't see any hands this morning. I believe we're all family here today. Thank you, Lord. Father, I don't see any hands here today, but if there's someone listening on live stream, you know it. And Lord, whoever you are listening on live stream, if you need to make this decision this morning to either give your life to the Lord or rededicate, it's simple. All you need to do is believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and say it with your mouth. You say, Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for me and rose from the dead so that I could be saved. And if you make that decision, please contact the church, contact Pastor Mike. The info is on the website, and he can help get you started on your new walk with the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can open your eyes. I enjoyed being with you all this morning. Amen. And so thankful for this church, this local house. And I believe we got help today. Amen. Strength for us. You know, even if you haven't dealt with offense, or maybe, you know, it's not something that troubles you, it's just another thing that we can gird up. And it's always good to shore up the foundation. Amen. Amen. So praise the Lord. Love you guys so much. Extended family here in South Dayton. And I believe there's some goodies waiting over in the fellowship hall. So head on over that way. You're dismissed. Have a blessed week.
Jesus Christ has broken. yours, I am yours. No.